You have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 20, we'll read. You can follow along as I read here in Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 20. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereof, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Let's pray. Father, guide us as we look at this scripture and we see the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Help us to realize the things that we need to see. Work on our hearts. Bring us closer to you. And if there be any person here today who does not know Jesus Christ, help them to get it settled today. We thank you and love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul here is before King Agrippa, and he's about to be sent to Rome. King Agrippa was the son of Herod that killed James. You remember the Herod that killed James, the brother of John? And then when the people said, just shortly after that, the people said, it is the voice of a God and not a man. And because he gave not God the glory, God slew him. He was eaten with worms. And so that was this King Agrippa. He was the son of that Herod. He was in the Herodian line. He was the last of the Herodian line. And the Herods were very wicked men, very savage in the way that they treated people and the way they ran their kingdoms, their authority. Felix, if you remember that, when Paul was taken in Jerusalem, he was sent to Caesarea because there was a plot to try to kill him. And Paul's sister's son heard that and went to Paul and told him. And Paul sent his son, called the captain. The captain took him aside, the captain of the forces there. And he told him what was going to happen. And so they sent a big bunch of troops and took him to Caesarea before Felix. Well, Felix was the brother-in-law to King Agrippa. And when he was before Felix, you remember that Felix kept him there, put him in prison bound for 2 years, hoping that Paul would give him money so he could get money and then he would release him. But he kept him there, and then King Agrippa came to visit. And when he came to visit Festus. Festus was the one that took over for Felix. If you remember, Felix's time was done and Festus took over. And So King Agrippa comes to visit Festus, and Felix was, as I said, was brother-in-law. Let me just explain that. Felix was married to the first king Agrippa, the one that Agrippa won, who had slain James. That was his daughter. And so actually, King Agrippa II, which is this King Agrippa that we read about here, was married to his sister. And that caused a lot of conflict back in that time. But anyhow, the chief captain sent him to Caesarea before Felix. Felix keeps him bound 2 years, and then after that, Felix leaves the scene. Festus takes over in authority there. And then Paul is brought before Festus, and Festus wants to send him back to Jerusalem. Just be done with this. I'll just send you back there. And so what does Paul do? He appeals to Caesar. He knew that it wouldn't work to go back to Jerusalem, because surely they would slay him there. And they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen when he tried to tell them before the message of Christ and give them his testimony. They just wouldn't accept it. And so he comes before King Agrippa, and he gives his testimony of how he was saved. He presents his defense to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, after he hears it all, said, if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, we could have just let him go. He seems to be innocent. But he didn't. And you remember that King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul had gotten to witness to many in authority because of his being bound for his preaching the gospel. And God used that to give the gospel to many of them. There were many of them that got saved, but as far as we know, King Agrippa never did. Hope he did, but it doesn't seem that he did. But we can learn from Paul's testimony that he gives to King Agrippa. If you will turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 13. He says, hold fast. I'm in 2 Timothy. I knew that was wrong the minute I read it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor. Paul is talking about himself here. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Notice what he says. For a pattern or an example, to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul said, use my testimony as an example for those who will believe after me. They'll get saved. And so the first thing we notice from Paul's testimony here in Acts chapter 26 is that anyone, no matter how bad they are, can be saved. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Anyone, no matter how bad they are, they can come to the truth of the gospel. And notice what he said there in verses 10 and 11. He said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I mean, he sent the Christians to the lions. He spoke the word of testimony against them. Yes, they are worshiping this Jesus, and he sent them to death. He was a horrible man, a young man, when he was working there for the high priest, and went out and found people worshiping. He would walk into places like this and He would find us all here worshiping. And what He would do is have us all drug out and probably beaten right on the spot and then taken into prison and then sent to the lions. And that's the kind of a man that he was. But on the road to Damascus, he met the Lord. Verses 12 to 15 tells us that he heard the voice of the Lord. And you know, that is similar to us. It doesn't matter how rough of a life we have had. It doesn't matter how difficult our past has been or how mean we have been or how wicked we have been. There came that time in our life, like the Apostle Paul, that we heard the voice of the Lord. We saw the light of the gospel to shine by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It convicted our heart. We came to see that Jesus Christ is God, that He died, He was buried, and He rose again to pay the price for our sin. And we come to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like the bright light that shone around the Apostle Paul, and he met the Lord there on the road to Damascus. We can remember the time that we were sinners and how that we realized that Jesus paid the price for our sin, that He gave His life and He died and was buried and rose again so that we could have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible tells us that we must come to Christ. And we must receive Him as our Lord and Savior. And we came to that place in our life where we saw the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like the Apostle Paul. He said, use me as an example. It may have been in a church service. It may be like the Apostle Paul. I've heard of people getting saved that on the roadside, they pulled their car over and stopped and got it settled and received the Lord. And it may be in church. It may be any place. The Bible teaches that any place is the place to come to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us when it's time very clearly. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It's not something that should be put off. Because Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So it's something that has to be settled right now. When we see that light, we need to settle it. If the Apostle Paul had gotten up from there and said, whoa, I don't know what that was, and I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going on. I got a job to do in Damascus. I've got to seek those believers out and get rid of them. He would have rejected the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is with us. When we come to that place that we see that we are a sinner, we're lost, we're undone, and we come to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the time to get it settled and to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was saved along the roadside. There were many that were saved in services that were held in the Bible and different things, different places people were saved. But when you understand the gospel, that's the time to get it settled. And so I believe that every person who comes to Christ comes like a road to Damascus experience. And so that's the question for us. Where was your road to Damascus? Where did you come to that time in your life when you saw the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you put your faith and trust in Him. And your life was changed. My road to Damascus was back when I was just a young boy. I was sitting upstairs. I remember where it happened. I looked out the window and I realized I was lost and dying and going to hell. And I knew that Jesus Christ had paid the price for my sin. And that night I asked Him to forgive me and save me. I came to that road to Damascus. My wife came to the road to Damascus on a Sunday night service. when she was just a young girl. And she saw the light of the gospel, put her faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's the question for us. Where was our road to Damascus? Do you have that experience in your life? Well, it may not be as dramatic as it was for the Apostle Paul, but every one of us needs a road to Damascus. We were going on our journey in our life, whichever way we were going and whatever we were doing. But we came to that place where we saw that we are a sinner, lost and doomed and headed for hell. And we saw the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And we put our faith and trust in Him. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul leaves us an example of a true salvation experience. It comes to that place where we see ourselves as a sinner, lost and undone, and we see Jesus as the Savior from our sin. We put our faith and trust in Him. And so we see that taking place here. He says at midday. Sometimes some people are saved at all times of the day, but for Paul it came at midday. He said, I saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. The conviction of the Holy Spirit happens to us. Paul heard the voice of Jesus. And God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, convicting us of sin and our need of Christ. And we came to that place where we were convicted of our sin, our road to Damascus, and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Verses 16 to 20. In verse 16, Jesus said to him, but rise and stand upon thy feet. In other words, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. We were saved for purpose. We came to the truth of the gospel for a purpose. God didn't save us just to sit. God saved us to serve, to live for Him, to be a witness for Christ. The Apostle Paul was given a mission, and it burned in his heart. Let's just look at some of what he said about the mission that he was given when he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. You can go to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. And he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He took this mission that God had given him to heart. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. And then look over in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 20 to 21 here, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he said in Galatians chapter 2, we know these verses, the commitment of the Apostle Paul after he had met the Lord there on the road to Damascus. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Here he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He took it to heart, the mission that he was given, when he saw the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he came to see Jesus Christ as God the Son, come in the flesh to pay the price for our sin. It changed his life. And the mission that he was given, he took it to his heart. It burned in his heart. And you know, we have a mission as well. Jesus, before he left, if you'll turn in your Bible and look at it, we quote it often, but let's look at it here, what he said in Matthew chapter 28. This is just before he ascended to heaven. He left us with this commission. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." In John chapter 20 and verse 21, we see what He had commanded them, and they were to teach us the same things that they had been taught by the Lord. In John 20, 21, He said, "Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So they were sent on the same mission that Jesus was. And Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." So we as believers have a mission after we come to the light of gospel to get the light of the gospel to as many people as we can, to share the news, the good news of the gospel, to get it out, to preach the gospel, as He said in Mark 16:15, to every creature. We are to get the gospel out to the world. That's why we're involved in the missions, all the missions letters back there, because we can't go individually to the world as a church. We're not able to do that. Some of us might be called into the mission field and service, but we all can't go. But we can be involved in getting the gospel out to the world by supporting those who can go and who are called to go. And so we fulfill the Great Commission, number one, by witnessing and testifying and giving out gospel tracts to the people that we meet and trying to share the good news of the gospel and not being ashamed of it, like the Apostle Paul said he wasn't. We take the mission to heart that we have, and we go with the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to get the news out there. The Apostle Paul, if you look over in the book of Philippians again, what he said here, it's in Philippians, I think chapter 3 is the verse I'm thinking of. Get over here in Philippians eventually. In verse chapter 3, verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." His heart burned to fulfill the commission that he was given. Why? Because he had come to the truth, the light of the gospel. He had actually come to know Jesus Christ. And that's what should have happened to us on our road to Damascus. We should have come to the place where we come to see Jesus Christ and to know Him as our Lord and Savior, to see Him for who He really is, to see Him as the Savior, to see Him as God the Son, to see Him as the one who came to set us free from our sin. And He gave us a mission, just like He did the Apostle Paul. We've been given a mission as well. And the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John some of the signs that we can know that we have had a road to Damascus experience. Gives us the signs of that in the book of 1 John. If you turn back there to 1 John, here in chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, it says, "And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And so we notice that the Bible says here that we keep his commandments. There is a concern to live according to God's word. Now, it's not saying that we never sin anymore, because that would put this whole passage and the previous chapter in conflict. Because he says in verse 10 of chapter 1, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in it. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We know that we're sinners by nature and we do sin. And we can confess it and the Lord will forgive us with a true heart of confession. So what he is actually saying here is that the true believer has a concern to live for Christ, to follow the Word of God. When we come to the light of the gospel, it isn't just something that we come into our road to Damascus and we just, well, that was good. I'm okay now. I got that settled. It's okay. It's over for me. And we never read the Bible. We never pray. We never have any concern about serving God or doing what God has taught us to do in His Word. Something's not right there. You didn't really have a road to Damascus experience, if that's the case. So we see that there is a concern to follow the Word of God, to live according to the Word of God. In chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded him." We have the love of Christ given to us. And we loved to be around believers. We now have a desire to see people saved. Even wicked people that we know. There's something in our heart that now has a love for them to want them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray for them. And we try to witness to them. Because why? Because now there's this love has come into our heart. Romans 5:5 tells us that it's been given to us by the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And look what the Apostle Paul, he had such a turnaround in his life. And you go back there to the book of Acts chapter 26 and look at verse 20 and what he said here in chapter 26, verse 20. "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea." You notice he's going to Damascus now not to kill the Christians, but to try to get more of them, get more saved, more Christians. "And throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." That word meet is translated worthy 35 times. Works worthy for repentance. When we have this turnabout in our life, it shows it's a sign. Turnabout is not repentance, but it's a sign that there has been a repentant heart. That we have come to see ourselves as a sinner. We've come to realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And it turns us around. Different direction now. Not what I used to be. Different person. Concerned about God's Word and following God's Word. Love to be around the believers. And we now have desire to see people saved. And if you look in Romans chapter 10, and we'll come back to 1 John, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, look what Paul said. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was his nation. He was concerned that people in his nation would come to Christ. That's what the road to Damascus experience did for him. He was concerned that his own people would come to Christ. Then look what he said over there in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. This is coming from his heart. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. What is that, Paul? What's causing that to be in your case? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Or when we get saved, what happens? When we have a road to Damascus experience, what happens to us? We're concerned that our loved ones are saved. We're concerned that our children get saved. We're concerned that family and friends come to Christ. When we have a road to Damascus experience, when we come to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're concerned about our family, our friends, our nation, that they might be saved and come to the truth of the gospel that we have found, because we know that if they don't, they will perish forever in a lake of fire, separated from God and the torments of hell forever. And our heart burns to see them saved and come to the truth of the gospel. Look in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our love for the things of the world changes. We come to the place where Paul said that the things that were gained to me, I count but loss. Count them but dung. He said, the world doesn't matter to me now. What matters to me is serving Jesus Christ, living for Him. That's what matters to me now. The church and serving God. Those things become important in my life. Many can testify that before they had a road to Damascus experience, before they came to Christ, they had no desire for church, going to church. I want to be a part of those people who go to church all the time. But you know, when we get saved, that changes. Now we have a desire for the things of God, a desire to serve the Lord. The world seems to be pushed away back, and now it's serving Jesus Christ that comes to the front. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be when we have a road to Damascus experience. And then we notice in chapter 3 and verse 24. There's much more in this book that we could look at. He says in verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given to us. There's the moving and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life. Chapter 4, verse 13 here says, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Well, now we have the Holy Spirit, and He gives us strong feelings that we should or should not do certain things. The Holy Spirit begins to work on our heart. We get convicted about things. The sad part of that is that the Bible teaches there in Ephesians 4 and also 1 Thessalonians 5 that we can grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. We never can get rid of Him. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. We have eternal salvation, but we can grieve Him and quench Him by not the grieving. In Ephesians 4, in the context, seems to be because we don't do what we're supposed to do. as far as in the area of sin, we commit sins. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, we don't do the things that we are commanded to do, like praying and going and giving and doing the things that we're commanded to do. We grieve the Holy Spirit. And so He's not able to work in our lives like we should. The Apostle Paul gives us this example, the convicting of the Holy Spirit. If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 7, just quickly run through these. Acts 16, verse 7, he says, "After they were come to Mysia, they assuaged to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." The leading of the Holy Spirit, chapter 18, verse 5. "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." In chapter 19, verse 21, the Bible says, "And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome." Chapter 20, verse 22. Here he says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Paul was heading for Rome because he knew the Holy Spirit was leading him there. And in Romans chapter 8, verses beginning there in verse 5, the Bible says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And so the Bible teaches us that the true believer has the convicting of the Holy Spirit. We start seeing things. We start understanding things. We start seeing things in the Word of God that stand out to us and speak to our heart that we maybe need to change this thing in my life and I need to be different. I need to do things differently than what I've done them in the past. And I need to stop this and I need to stop that and I need to do what God wants me to do. And so we see those things in the conversion of the Apostle Paul, his road to Damascus experience. And know what he said? He said, use that as a pattern. Use that as an example for yourself. Have you had that road to Damascus experience in your life? Can you go back to that time when you came to the place in your life where you saw the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You saw that you were a sinner, doomed to an eternal hell, and you saw that Jesus paid the price for your sin, that He is God the Son, God come in the flesh to pay the price for your sin, and that He died and He was buried and rose again, and you personally asked Him to forgive you of your sin and to save you, and you trusted Him for your salvation from your sin. The light of the gospel burned into your heart, and you trusted Jesus as your Savior, and it changed your life. You rose up from there like the Apostle Paul, a different person, changed. Your life was changed. And you now had a desire to serve Jesus Christ, to live for Him, to learn more of the Word of God, to get more involved in serving Him. Is that your testimony? Is that your road to Damascus? Paul said, "I've left you a pattern, an example, so that you can know and come to the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. And the one looking around, maybe you'd say, Pastor, I really have to question a road to Damascus experience in my life. I can't really go back to a place in my life where there was a dramatic light of the gospel that shined in my heart. And I saw myself as a sinner. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I can't really go back to a time like that. Would you pray for me that I might make sure of my salvation? Anyone, anywhere, just lift it up and put it down. I'm not going to sing you out or embarrass you. We'll sing an invitation song. Give you an opportunity to do something about it. But you'd lift your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone, anywhere. Father, we thank you for your word, so clear and plain to guide us. We thank you for the pattern, the example that the Apostle Paul left us of a true conversion experience and what it does to our lives. We pray that each one of us have had that road to Damascus experience in our life where we have come to the light of the gospel. And we've seen our Savior as for who He really is. Put our faith and trust in Him. And it has changed our lives. We thank you for it. We pray that we'll be excited as the Apostle Paul was, as determined as the Apostle Paul was to fulfill our mission to get the gospel out to our family, our friends, so that they can come to the truth, the light of the gospel, like we did. Help us to be more faithful in witnessing and testifying and trying to win people to Christ. For the most part, Father, we can say the reason we don't see souls saved is we don't try to get them saved with the earnestness that the Apostle Paul did, as much as in me is. Help us to become a burden for the lost and to do our part to get the gospel out. Fill our mission. Thank you for your word to guide us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing an invitation song. Give you